Funding for Think is made possible by SMU's informal courses for adults.
You're listening to Think on KERA 90.1. I'm Chris Boyd. How hard is it to be civil? And how would the world change if everybody made the effort? While it sometimes seems we have no choice but to respond to rudeness in kind, my guest today believes there are great benefits in deciding instead to be courteous. And he says understanding the cause of other people's impolite behavior is a good way to start. PM Forney is professor of Italian literature at Johns Hopkins University and founder of the university's Civility Initiative. His new book is called The Civility Solution, What to Do When People Are Rude. PM, welcome to Think.
Hello, Chris. Great to be here.
Are we ruder today to each other? Do we have more chances to be rude to each other than we have in the past?
To the extent that we are more stressed than we used to be, to the extent that we are more fatigued than we used to be, and to the extent that we are a more anonymous society than we used to be, we are. But when we say that we are ruder than we used to be, we mean that we have more opportunities to fail to adhere to established forms of respect and deference. What we forget is that every society elaborates new forms of deference and respect that in part take the place of those that are becoming obsolete.
You start the book by dividing rudeness into two categories, focused and unfocused. What's the difference?
Well, first of all, to talk about rudeness at all, one has to justify the move, the intellectual move. Why should we bother with rudeness? Is it really such an irritant or such something so problematic that it deserves a book on? And there are very wise words of philosopher Emrys Westacott, with which we can start talking about rudeness. And Emrys Westacott says, precisely because rudeness is quite common, it is not a trivial issue. Indeed, in our day-to-day lives, it is possibly responsible for more pain than any other mortal failing. So when we are talking about rudeness, incivility, impoliteness, we are not talking about trivial matters. We are talking about quality of life. Rudeness is a quality of life issue. And that's why I tried to study it in ways that would reveal its mechanisms so that we could respond better to it. And one way was to divide rudeness in unfocused rudeness and focused rudeness. Unfocused rudeness is the rudeness of the person who doesn't know any better and may just bump you in the street because he or she hasn't seen you. Just someone who's self-absorbed and is an equally opportunity offender, doesn't focus upon you. Instead, when we are talking about focus rudeness, we are talking about someone that focuses on you. It's the person who will keep interrupting you in order to impress the boss, the person who will ask embarrassing questions to make you look bad, the person who will... It will be caused often by anger. It will be mean-spirited at times. So the first thing to do when you are in the presence of an act of rudeness is to wonder of which kind it is, because you may want to respond in different ways.
Mm-hmm. Does rudeness come, do you think, from an inflated sense of self-worth, people that just figure that they're so important that it doesn't really matter who else they're
mean to? Rudeness can come, interesting, yes, absolutely, from a sense of self-worth. People who have unreasonable images of themselves and therefore do not care for others, who are trapped in a cage of narcissism that they have built for themselves. But also rudeness can be caused by somebody who has a very low self-esteem, because what we often do as human beings, and this is a cause of a large amount of acts of rudeness, is when we are insecure, we shift the burden of that insecurity upon others in the form of hostility. Suppose that you are new at your job and you are insecure. You have a new boss. People are being let go. You think that your competence is not good enough for the job. You are insecure, and this may bring you to be unkind to others as a curious defense mechanism that we are all prone to. So both people with an unreasonably high sense of self-respect or self-worth and people with a low self-esteem can be very good producers of acts of incivility.
What about the culture of individualism? How does that contribute to the problem?
Well, individualism is part of the DNA of this country, and certainly it has some bearing on rudeness. It is one of the many causes that I have mentioned in the book. And yes, individualism is a good thing, but then at its extreme, every good thing can become problematic. Individualism very often is such a people who are highly individualistic, they are so task-oriented, they are so goal-directed that they engage daily in a mad rush to the attainment of their individual goals, professional goals very often. And as they do so, they don't think that they have the luxury to slow down for the sole purpose of being kind and considerate to others. And so that's how individualism enters in the picture.
Well, you talked about it being part of the DNA of this country. I wonder, PM, if you think that American rudeness is a breed all of its own that somehow is worse than in other places. We have this reputation for being so brash and maybe unfocused in a lot of interactions.
Well, I try to disabuse my European friends, whom I see every year, of the notion that Americans are supposed to be ruder than Europeans. Many Europeans believe so, but what they mistake, I think, is American informality for incivility. Are Americans more informal than Europeans? Yes, they are. Informality is part of the history of democracy of this country that is so based on equality. If you're really equal, why should we stand on ceremonies? We met for the first time today, but I'll be PM and you'll be Chris. Mm-hmm. But incivility is something else. True, however, at its extremes, informality borders with incivility. If you're invited to the White House and show up in flip-flops, are you uncivil or you're informal? Well, you're probably both. but it has been done. But I would say that I think that Americans should not believe that they are the ruder of the two. I think that, for instance, when it comes to the management of their body in space, Americans are amongst the most careful in the world. I would say there is a tendency, maybe what is more American than other traits, is a tendency to play up what they do. Maybe a tendency of shrinking away from modest behavior sometimes and just be very frank and blatant in listing their accomplishments. Even this, I think it's a trait that becomes problematic only at its extremes. Within reason, it's just being proud of what one has reached.
So one of the first things that we have to do when we've experienced some sort of incivility is to decide, first and foremost, whether it's really worth addressing directly.
That's right. That's the first thing that you want to assess. Am I going to bring this to the attention of the person who has perpetrated this slight upon me? Is this the right moment? Is there going to be a better moment than this? Is my bringing this up disruptive of perhaps the good cheer that the host has been able to create by working very hard? Shall I bring it up at all, whether now or in the future? And in general, the general rule is that if the slight comes from an associate, a spouse, a member of the family, or a friend, it is better to mention it. It's better to mention it because if you don't and you repress it, that person who is part of your life is going to do that again. And you repress it again. And tomorrow she will do it again. And one day you are going to explode. Mm-hmm. And then the other person will say, but why didn't you say anything? how I was supposed to know that you felt that way. So now you're doubly at fault because you didn't say anything and because you exploded. So in my first book, the Choosing Civility, the 25 Rules of Considerate Conduct, one of the 25 rules is being assertive. And very often we think that being assertive is not civil, especially if you are very sensitive, if you are very nice and very kind people. We shy away from asserting ourselves. But assertiveness is part of being civil. And it allows you to assert your own self-respect so that others will respect you. We teach every day, we teach others how to treat us by what we are willing to endure from them. And so it's better to let others know how far they can push the envelope.
P.M. Forney is my guest. He is founder of the Civility Initiative at Johns Hopkins University. He also teaches Italian literature there. His new book is called The Civility Solution, What to Do When People Are Rude. We'll be back to our conversation with P.M. in just a moment. Right now, we would ask that you call 1-800-456-5372. Become a new or renewing member of KERA. Jeff Whittington is here now and has the details on how you can get a copy of this really nice little guidebook for handling rudeness in life.
Yeah, we're offering this. The Civility Solution. You can get your very own copy of the book when you join the station today at the $120 membership level. And like I always like to say, the book is, it's been out for a little while, and it's available on the web.
$19.95 if you want to buy it, and we encourage you to do so.
Exactly. It's available on the web. It's available at bookstores, at your local independent or mega retail bookseller, I'm sure. But we just want to encourage you to support KERA. We think that this conversation is so fitting, especially when we're talking a lot this week about why you listen to public radio. The civil discourse aspect of public radio is key, especially on this show. I mean, that's what we put together every day is a civil conversation. Even if you disagree with someone, you can call in and have a disagreement with them, but it's delivered in a civil tone because this is a forum. It's a public forum where everybody's treated with respect. And I think that that's why you listen. You get that from public radio. And we're also offering you a chance to get Professor Forney's guide, The Civility Solution, when you join the station today at the $120 level.
1-800-456-5372 is the telephone number. You can also go online to kera.org. It really is sort of a value of public radio that everybody's welcome at the table, provided you are open to other people's ideas and you are civil when you speak. One thing I think that's really interesting about that is that in our experience working in public radio, this format ultimately reveals a lot more truth than the format where you have the black side and the white side and people just argue each other. Here we're all about shades of gray, and I think you ultimately learn a lot more that way.
And I've noticed in many after doing this job for a number of years, I've noticed that usually the very brash, very loud debater in a debate, it comes off not looking as well to the audience or to me as the person who's calm, collected, civil, and respectful of the other person. Because, you know, that's the thing. We all we live in a diverse society. We live in a diverse world. We all really do need to try to get along. And that's what public radio is about, bringing you the information that you use every single day to be a better informed citizen of your town, your region, the country, the world even, to get along. And for public radio and for KERA to get along, we do require funding, and we ask for you to provide some of that.
1-800-456-5372 is the telephone number. You can also do this online at kera.org. You might consider, if you haven't done it before, setting up a sustaining membership. That means every month a certain amount is withdrawn from your checking or debit account and it goes straight into the membership account. You can sort of set it and forget it and know that you're a member in good standing. Or you can also make a contribution with a credit card that puts your money to work right away. It's entirely up to you. But please do call 1-800-456-5372 or go to kera.org. Back in just a minute with Professor P.M. Forney.
Funding for Think is made possible by SMU's continuing and professional education. Hundreds of non-credit personal enrichment and professional development courses beginning in January. Details online at smu.edu/CAPE.
You're You're listening to Think on KERA 90.1. I'm Chris Boyd. My guest this hour is founder of the Civility Initiative at Johns Hopkins University. He is Professor P.M. Forney. His newest book is called The Civility Solution, What to Do When People Are Rude. We'd love to send you a copy with our compliments when you join at the $120 level or above at 1-800-456-5372. You can join the conversation right now by calling us at 1-800-933-5372. And we should say the second half of the book is a lot of practical sort of real life question and answer examples about how to handle specific situations. So if you happen to have one of those, give us a call now, 800-933-5372. You stress repeatedly, PM, that it's important that we try to remember, despite the sting of a rude encounter, that it's very often not as personal as it feels.
Yes, that is very important. One of the very immediate things that you should do, you are driving and somebody shows you a little bit of finger puppetry on the highway.
What a civil way to describe that.
You think, well, if today I had remained at home with the cold, someone else would be here exposed to that digit now. And so it's not really for me. I just happen to be at this place, and that is it. So depersonalize as much as you can. You can also do a little visualization exercise. You can visualize the slight, whatever it is, that comes to you as a package that you receive, but then you return because it doesn't belong to you. And it really belongs to the person who sent it, because incivility, rudeness, is really the product of a bad state of mind of the other person. It has very little to do with you.
Yeah, one of the things I thought that was so interesting that you suggested is if we go somewhere and a service person is being particularly rude, you suggest acknowledging right out there, boy, it looks like you're having a bad day.
Yes, I think that is one of the things that we could do. Here you have a service provider who's supposed to take care of you and say in a cordial way, what can I do for you, and do all that he or she can to make your experience positive so that you can separate yourself from your money in a less painful way. And instead, this is not happening. And so my suggestion is that to turn the table and say, what can I do for you? You seem to be having a bad day. And not in a sarcastic way, but in a way such as that it shows that you're really wanting to help. And you can rest assured that the other person, that the service provider, will be surprised. But usually the reaction is very positive, because they don't expect for their clients to utter the formula that is their own. What can I do for you?
1-800-933-5372 is our telephone number. You can also email think@kera.org. What do you suggest, PM, when we accidentally, maybe thoughtlessly, but not certainly not purposefully, offend someone else somehow, and they then respond rudely because they feel as if they've been slighted by us?
Well, again, it depends if we are talking about a person whom you do know or a person whom you do not know, someone who does not belong to your circles of acquaintance and care. We are not invested in the same way in our relationships. However, if there is something that we can do regardless of the situation and regardless of whether we are close or not so close to that person, is not to be afraid to make amends, to say I'm sorry, to ask for forgiveness. I think that we are not very, very good at doing that, because our pride blocks us, because we think that we are going to expose our weaknesses if we say that we are sorry. But it is making amends. It's an enormously important instrument and an important tool that we have in social relationships, and we should use it more than we do.
And are we required, if someone apologizes sincerely, let's assume that this is not the world's biggest offense, are we obliged to accept their apology graciously?
No, we are not obliged. What we are obliged to is to consider very seriously doing that. But sometimes there may be reasons that can induce you not to accept the apology. Maybe the person is doing this in a clearly not heartfelt way, in a breezy way, and maybe just a few words because of the gravity of what has occurred are needed. And maybe you want to verify that this change in attitude for the better will stand the test of time. So you can always say, I appreciate that what you're saying, but I'm not ready to do that yet. And when I am, I'm going to tell you.
1-800-933-5372 is our number. My guest is PM Forney. His new book is called The Civility Solution, What to Do When People Are Rude. Let's go to Stephen in Denton. Hi, Stephen.
Hi, how are you?
Great, thank you.
Hello, Stephen.
Hi, how are you?
I'm well, thank you.
I had a specific example that I just kind of wanted some advice for. I commute by bike to class every day. It's about a 10-mile ride. And on the way, a couple of my neighbors, you know, will pass me or something like that. But specifically, there's one that I know he sees me because I have lights all over my bike, but he almost always hits me. And it's dangerous, and it's extremely rude. And I was just wondering how I should try to handle that.
Well, my suggestion is that you talk to him and say and ask him to give a justification for your behavior and just state what the problem is, inform what the problem does to you, and request a change. It's the SIR, the SIR sequence that I suggest in my book. So you state, John, yesterday, once more, when I was riding, you almost hit me. So this cannot be confuted. That is something that happened. It's a fact. You state the fact. And then you inform. When you do that, you make me feel that you don't value my safety, that you don't care about hitting me, or that you take a sort of a perverse joy in threatening me. So that's what that's the information on what the behavior does on you. And then you request, I would really appreciate it, that starting from now on, you don't do that anymore. And see what he does say, what his explanation is.
Now, in some cases, of course, John would say, gosh, I'm so sorry, I hadn't really given it any thought, and I'll be much more careful. And in other cases, John will say, lighten up, you're fine, I've never actually knocked you over.
Yes, and that is a very common response, the lighten up response. But the counter response to that is, do you mean that I'm not... I cannot feel the way I feel. I do not have a right to the way I feel. I know how close you came, and it is very dangerous. So I would appreciate it if you didn't belittle the incident, because it is a matter of my safety.
You recommend that we refrain from arguing whenever that is possible, but that does not mean that we can't stand up for ourselves.
No, that's right. I am often quoting the famous line of Dale Carnegie on arguing. And Dale Carnegie, whom I admire very much and is a giant in the books, in the genre of self-help and popular psychology, used to say, whatever you do, wherever you are, with whomever you find yourself, there is one thing that you should never do, never argue. And that is because if you lose, you lose, and if you win, you lose. And I think that there is a good degree of wisdom in that. What he meant by that, of course, was that you could really prevail in an argument, but that would be a Pyrrhic victory, because maybe that would humiliate the other person. And your relationship with the other person is much more important than your victory or small victory of the moment. So this doesn't mean that you don't discuss. You shouldn't discuss. Discuss, talk, confront your ideas, but do not argue in the sense of not starting raising your voice and losing control of the argument itself. When the argument starts becoming about the argument itself and not about the issue, you know that you should stop and forget it.
We have an email from Tony in Haltom City who says, a few people I know seem to just relish fighting. They get ruder as I get more polite. Is there any way to handle people like that?
Well, other than weeding them out from your life, which is always a possibility, there are certain people that are just not a good match for us. We simply are at too much at odds when it comes to considering what constitutes acceptable behavior, and maybe you want to have different friends. If you feel that the kinds of acquaintances and friends that you have make you miserable, make you ill at ease, you don't feel at ease in your skin when you are with them, you have to make too many compromises, then you can choose other friends. If this behavior comes from a person whom you want to keep in your life, you have to be very frank and say, listen, I treasure you as a friend, but your feisty, belligerent behavior is really a problem for me. As much as I like you, as much as I would like to have you keep you in my life, if some of this doesn't change, I really don't know how I can continue to do so.
P.M. Forney is my guest. He's professor of Italian literature and founder of the Civility Initiative at Johns Hopkins University. His new book is called The Civility Solution, What to Do When People Are Rude. We'll be back to our conversation about that in just a moment. You can get on the line to ask a question or make a comment at 1-800-933-5372 or send email to think@kera.org. This is also the perfect time, as we take this little break, to call our other line, which is 1-800-456-5372. We have a wonderful team of volunteers on the phone waiting to take your call so that you can make your contribution for this year or maybe for this fundraising campaign to KERA, because public radio is strong in your community because of your contributions. And few people know that better than Jeff Whittington, senior producer of Think and host of Anything You Ever Wanted to Know.
Thanks, Chris. And thanks to you so much for listening today. What a great conversation. I actually just heard someone in the hall talking about what a great conversation it was. That's going on the show today. If you're getting something out of our interview with Professor Forney, please call 800-456-5372. Say thanks with a pledge. Maybe you would like to receive the new radio bookmark. We talked about this a little bit in the fall, I think. Essentially, the way it works is you just have this little, you know, kind of key fob. It's like a thumb drive. And when you hear something on KERA, that you want to hear again, you just push the button. And then later, you plug it into your computer. It automatically finds all of those programs, downloads them right onto your computer for you. It's available at the $120 level, and I believe that's a credit card or debit card pledge at 800-456-5372.
We make it very easy for you to become a member of the station or to renew a membership. It just takes a couple of minutes. If you want to do it online, you can do it at your leisure, but it also can be a very quick process. Public radio is here for you, and it's also here because of you. I always think, you know, we love coming to work here like you would not believe. In fact, yesterday, Jeff and I had a lengthy discussion about all the strategies we would use to get to work if the ice didn't allow us to drive. Jeff said, well, it's an hour and 15-minute walk from my house. And I said, well, what about the ice? What if the sidewalks are icy? And he said, not if you walk on the grass. It's fine. I'll walk on the grass. We really love working
here. I thought that
was
a private conversation.
Was it uncivil of me to reveal that?
I'm not so sure if I really wanted people knowing about that.
I acknowledge that you're upset about that, and I do feel sorry.
Okay.
Anyway, we love working here. We get the sense that you love listening to the station. You become part of the process when you become a member. I mean, it sounds like lip service, but it really isn't. Public radio couldn't exist if people who listened didn't contribute money to it. That's the God's honest truth. We would invite you to be part of the team that makes KERA possible and take even more ownership of your favorite radio station. Give us a call now at 1-800-456-5372. 5372.
The listener contributions make up over 50% of the budget here at KERA. You know, bills that just like every business and every household has, KERA has too. We've got to pay the electricity bill. We've got to pay the water bill. We've got to, you know, get the grass cut. We've got to keep the building maintained. We have to fix the equipment. I don't know if you have, you know, transmitters and microphones at your house and business and headphones that break and things that have to get fixed. You know, gasoline for the car so that the reporters can get out and get the story. These are all expenses that are offset by more than 50% with your contributions. Many, many people have contributed over the years so that you can avail yourself of this service, so that you can listen to KERA. We're just asking you to step up, take a little responsibility yourself, and do your part so that KERA can remain strong and here for years and possibly generations to come. It's not going anywhere. And of course, we make our goals and we will exist and the station will continue to work, even if Chris and I aren't here. But you really shouldn't. We hope that you won't rely on someone else to take responsibility for it. We really hope that you yourself will call us at 800-456-5372.
Of course, you have the opportunity to deduct a membership to KERA from your taxes and all that, but we don't think of this as a charity, really. We are a community service organization. We are serving you, and you reap the benefits of the work that we do here. So making a contribution to KERA is more like making an investment in a product that you want to continue to thrive, that you want to continue to evolve and to bring you a service that you have come to rely on. You could be part of this by calling 1-800-456-5372, or you can do this online as well at kera.org.
It only takes a minute or two, and you'll be right back listening to the radio. If you do it online at kera.org, you can continue to listen to the show while you make your gift of support. You can peruse the various thank you gifts that are available at any number of levels. Right there online, you can see the Think mug, you can see the KERA travel mug, two of the really popular gifts that people are choosing. But whatever you decide to do, please decide to either call 800-456-5372 or go online and pledge at kera.org right now.
Remember that you can also choose to receive a copy of Professor Forney's book, The Civility Solution. That's available today with our compliments at the $120 membership level or above. I have visions that some of you might like to receive this book and then anonymously place it on the desk of a coworker or in the Christmas stocking of a friend or family member. However you plan to use it, you can receive it at the $120 level with our compliments. 1-800-456-5372 is the telephone number, or you can do all of this online at kera.org. Thanks.
Funding for Think is made possible by SMU's continuing and professional education. Hundreds of non-credit personal enrichment and professional development courses beginning in January. Details online at smu.edu/CAPE.
You're listening to Think on KERA 90.1. I'm Chris Boyd. Speaking this hour with PM Forney, he is professor of Italian literature at Johns Hopkins University. He's also founder of the Civility Initiative at Johns Hopkins. His newest book is called The Civility Solution, What to Do When People Are Rude. If you want a copy and you want to support KERA, then call 1-800-456-5372. If you would like to join the conversation, you can call us at 1-800-933-5372. Let's go next to Charles in Fort Worth. Hello, Charles.
Hi. Thanks for this conversation.
Sure.
Hello, Charles.
Hi, Dr. Forney. I wanted to ask, or maybe make a little comment. I work with a nonprofit that works at helping teachers in schools and different professionals understand the way that conversation affects, or the way we deal with conflict, how it affects what we are able to experience together in community. And one of the things that we found with the work of Don Nathanson on shame and humiliation, I thought about that when you were talking about the way someone in a situation might win an argument but humiliate their other person. And
loss of face.
Yeah, loss of
losing
face.
Face,
right?
And feeling process, humiliated as a result.
Yes. It seems to me this is a much bigger issue than we tend to think that it is, and that shame is at the heart, that feeling of humiliation is kind of at the heart of a lot of societal ills, and particularly the way people deal with their feelings of humiliation, In fact, Nathanson suggests that almost all of the domestic violence, particularly like in schools, actually doesn't come from anger, but more from those experiences of humiliation. I wonder if you could comment on that.
Thanks for your call, Charles.
Sure.
Yes, I think that is it's very perceptive. Humiliation is indeed a great cause of upheaval. And the reason is that it is connected with feeling unfairly treated. It is considered an injustice. And injustice is a very, very prominent case of rude behavior. When we perceive that we are not being treated fairly, we become depressed, indignant, and even outraged. And this emotional turmoil makes us act in a number of hostile behaviors. And rudeness is one of the hues in this spectrum of hostility. So unfairness breeds resentment. Resentment breeds anger. Anger breeds hostility. And hostility leads sometimes even to personal attacks and violence. So when you are, as I mentioned in my book, I have a chapter on injustice and humiliation in the book. When you are faced with the persistent hostility on the part of someone, try to contemplate the possibility that the other person may perceive himself or herself as the victim of injustice. So if you find out that the resentment towards you is justified because you're being unjust, you can make amends. So you can remove the cause of the displeasure on the other person. But I agree totally on the principle that humiliation and injustice, which are related, are primary causes of uncivil behavior.
It strikes me, and this comes up in the book, that very often people are the rudest to those that they care about the most. We have an email here from Sherry who asks, what do you say to your mother who is extremely belligerent?
Well, I have several cases, situations with solutions in the book. The second part of the book is 100 situations with solutions. And there are many grandmothers and mothers in these cases. Maybe I can read one that responds to this question, and it's also a model for many other cases in which a relative, a grandmother, an aunt, a mother are not at their best without even realizing sometimes.
Yeah, that would be great.
The situation is entitled, Your Grandmother Revisits Your Weight Problem. Bridal radiance, married stability, and prompt pregnancy are what your loving grandmother sees in her mind's eye when she sees you, her 31-year-old, still single granddaughter. Loving she is, tactful not quite. Now, dear, you have a great smile, you're smart, and you're funny. It doesn't mean that you have to settle for less than the best just because of your weight problem. You were so slim in high school. Oh, well. Although she has occasionally dwelled on your weight before, her comments really bother you now. Isn't there an unwritten grandmother-granddaughter covenant saying that the former must find the latter nothing short of flawless? And then there is the solution. Try a response something like this. Granny, I may be a couple of pounds over my regular weight, but I wish you wouldn't judge me. It makes me feel that I am a disappointment to you. What do you say we drop the issue of my weight once and for all? Let's talk about something else when we are together. And the response and the solution is always, the formula is the SIR sequence. The statement of what the behavior does to you, the information, the statement of what the behavior is, what it does for you, and the plea to move on and not to repeat the offensive behavior.
And how many times should we try the sequence? Because I'm sure there are cases where someone has to be reminded of how this behavior affects you more than once. Is it worth trying it 3 or 4 times with people we care about?
I think it's worth trying it 2 or 3 times, especially with people that are close to you, that are part of your circles of acquaintance and care, relatives, spouses, brothers, sisters, and so on and so forth, and good friends. But at a certain point, you have to use it one more time, maybe the last time, and saying, listen, I have tried to bring this up to you, and you seem to ignore this issue. Now I wish you would change, but I'm afraid that I'm losing my hope that you can change. And what do you have to say about it? Create a gentle ultimatum.
Let's take one final call from Art in Dallas. Hello, Art.
Yes. I wanted to mention that my older brother, I did see a lot of abuse that he suffered from my dad. He used to hit him really bad. And my brother, at an early age, was rude to me. He would put me down, and he would always, he would be rude to me. And because he was bigger than me, I really wouldn't fight him or confront him. But I dealt with the rudeness for many, many years. And finally, eventually, I did kind of argue with him back, and all it caused was us to, not speak for a good 6 months to almost a year, and that was the pattern for the longest time. That was the pattern, and to this day, he's not talking to me. I'm not too sure how long that's going to last, but every now and then he'll call me up and say, "Well, you're my brother. I love you, and I can't hold the and I'm sure I should, let him know more about what I see." Because I feel bad for him. I know he has complexes, but he definitely is constantly rude to me, putting me down, whatnot. So I'll take my answer off the air.
Thanks for your call, Art.
Thank you.
Well, this is a wonderful call upon which to finish. Not that the situation is wonderful, but it's wonderful because it can help other people consider rudeness and incivility and hostility something that is not trivial. As we can see from this telephone call among siblings, rudeness can erode self-esteem, it adds to stress, it bruises relationships, it can poison the workplace. This is not the case, but it is one more thing that it does, and it can escalate into violence. But it certainly can erode self-esteem and bruise and even break relationships. There are many, many relatives, spouses, that realize at a certain point in their relationships with one another that they reach a point of no return, and they wish that they had spoken before in the relationship when these behaviors had not solidified yet. So try to remove these obstacles to your happiness by speaking as soon as possible to the person whom you love, who is part of your family or your circle of friends, and just speak with your heart and say, I want you to keep being in my life, and I want to be in your life, but I need to tell you this. Please take it in the best possible way, because if I were not interested in keeping you in my life, I wouldn't be saying it. It comes to at a cost to me. It's not easy for me to say this, and it's not going to be easy for you to hear this out. But we have to give a chance to our friendships, to our relationships, and I'm willing to do so, and I hope that you will respond in kind.
Wonderful advice. PM Forney is professor of Italian literature at Johns Hopkins University. He is also the founder of the Civility Initiative at Johns Hopkins. His latest book is called The Civility Solution, What to Do When People Are Rude. PM, it's been a pleasure. Thanks so much for spending the hour with us.
Chris, I'm grateful for your invitation, and I wish you and your station all the best.
Thank you so much. Thank you to all of you who have been calling this hour or who have gone online to become members or renew their memberships. We are in the middle of our fall fundraising campaign, our membership campaign. We would love to welcome you into the circle or welcome you back into the circle when you call 1-800-456-5372. We have copies of Professor Forney's book available to people who join at the $120 level if you're interested. A lot of people don't want a thank you gift. They get the book separately. Or we also have a kind of exciting event coming up on Friday, March 6th, and Jeff Whittington's here to tell us about that. Right, Jeff?
That's right. Apparently, the music of Led Zeppelin, which will be performed by the Fort Worth Symphony, featuring guest conductor Brent Havens and vocalist Randy Jackson, is at Nokia Theater at Grand Prairie. Is that the Randy Jackson that's on American Idol?
I do not know.
Is that
There's
the
a little
same
star
Randy
next to his name, so maybe.
Well, I think that maybe that's for emphasis. This is Friday, March 6, 2009. Seats are in section 200 and 300. We have 20 pairs of these tickets for $120 per pair on a credit or debit card. I don't know. I don't even know if the guy on American Idol is Randy Jackson. It sounds familiar, but someone I'm sure will, as
probably
I say every
name.
Friday about 45 times, call in and correct me at 1-800-456-5372. That's a limited number of tickets, and it sounds kind of cool.
Yeah, it sounds great. And we would love to be able to give you that if it's something that would inspire you to make an additional gift. Oh, we're now down to 12 pairs of
tickets.
That
was fast.
Yeah.
Wow.
Maybe somebody called and made a very large contribution and wanted to bring
so.
The whole family.
I really hope
nice
so. Hey, whatever it takes, folk, whatever it takes to get you involved at KERA, we're willing to do, seriously. I mean, I'm not going to promise any dog washing or car washing or anything like that. Trust me, I learned my lesson on that kind of thing a long time ago.
98 was a long year for Jeff.
but really, we have all kinds of fantastic ways to thank you, including the public radio service that you've come to love every single day right here on KERA.
1-800-456-5372 is the telephone number. You can also go online to kera.org. Being a member of KERA makes you part of the formula that keeps the station on the air. It really is. It's not exactly, well, we call it a membership. It's not exactly like being in a club, but in a way, you do join very good company. You join people who are, you know, have the means to make incredibly large contributions, and you join people who really have to dig down pretty deep to make sure that they're a member of their public radio station. But what you all have in common is a love for civil discourse, for accurate and interesting information from a variety of perspectives, and a recognition that we all have to do this to make it possible.
It's part of the way that public radio works. When the public radio system was invented, and when KERA signed on the air 35 years ago this year, you know, it was kind of a new idea and definitely a product, I think, of the 60s and 70s and maybe even the new spirit post-war in America, that, you know, we could make this great thing that would really help people. It would educate and inform people, and both public television and public radio, and would sort of change lives. And you know what? It really has. I mean, think about how many times you have learned something on KERA that you probably likely never would have heard or read anywhere else. And for me, that's probably in the thousands and thousands of times, because just like you, I am, and I'm not meaning you, Chris, I mean you, the listener, I am a public radio junkie. I listen to other stations on the internet just to see what they're doing and what it sounds like there. And it's part of who I am. And I think that you probably share that passion because you listen all the time. You listen to this show. You listen to all the shows. Some other show may be your favorite show. That's the reason to support the station. That's the reason to send whatever is affordable, whatever's the right level for you, because you love it that much.
1-800-456-5372 is the telephone number. You'll get a volunteer promptly on the phone. You can also go online to kera.org and check out thank you gifts if it interests you. A lot of people do not take a thank you gift, and we don't really care either way. We're delighted to send you something if you want one. We know a lot of you do not want another object in the house or another thing. But look, if something appeals to you, then feel free to let the volunteer know or to look for it online. So far, throughout this campaign, we've raised about $170,000. We need to get to our overall goal before we can end the fundraising drive. We always encourage you, if you're going to make a contribution, think about making it right now, and then we're that much closer to the end.
And we promise, as soon as we reach the goal, the witty banter will cease, and we'll be right back to the failed witty banter-free public radio service that you have come to love.
Yeah, I think there's other witty banter outside of fundraising time, but it gets a little loopy sometimes when we're raising cash.
And you know, as Chris said, we have all kinds of things available. Professor P.M. Forney's guide, The Civility Solution, What to Do When People Are Rude, available at the $120 level. We still have The Breakthrough, the new book by Gwen Ifill of PBS fame. That's available also at the $120 level, as are really any of the books that you've heard the authors interviewed on Think this week or The Diane Rehm Show. They're all available. The volunteers have all the details.
Gwen Ifill was on The Daily Show last night, but she was on our show the day before, and I was very excited about that. We had her first because KERA is proud to be able to bring you this great content.
You know what I like to eat for lunch, Chris? 800-456-5372.
Think is produced by Jeff Whittington and engineered by Jeannie Mascoro. Learn about upcoming programs, subscribe to our free daily podcast, and order CD copies of your favorite Think shows on the radio page of KERA.org. And we'd like to hear what you think about Think. Email your comments, questions, and suggestions to think@KERA.org.